Patricia, I've been reading your biography. You are predominantly a self-taught pianist and composer. You composed and produced music for films for over 12 years, working with ABC, Turner Broadcasting, and PBS producers. You had a smash hit infomercial with your Play Piano Overnight video series. You were making appearances on television talk shows in the US and internationally and performing original music scores with multiple symphonies. At the apex of such a remarkable and successful career, you made a complete change in the focus of your work, leaving everything to follow the research and development of the Numeric Language of Music program. What could possibly have influenced you to make such a dramatic change in the direction in your life?
I guess I would go back to when I was working with Barbie Benton. I was living in Aspen, Colorado at the time, and Barbie had approached me, asked me if I would collaborate with her on a song. She would write the lyrics and I would write the music. During the time that we were working on the project, Barbie came to me. She was over at my house and she said, I'm going to have to leave for Los Angeles in a couple of days. How am I going to put the lyrics on the music? So I asked her, do you have a piano? And she said to me, yes, I have a piano, but I don't know how to play it. I said, well, sit down and I'll show you. I'll show you how to play the piano. And she got visibly frustrated. She said, Patty, I only have 20 minutes. And I just started laughing. I said, look, Barbie, I said, I only need 15. So I gave her maybe 15 or 20 minutes of information. I showed her the structural form of the vocabulary, how this vocabulary can go together, different ways to express the vocabulary and combine the vocabulary. After that, she got up and she went home. 2 days later, the telephone starts ringing at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's Barbie. She said, I have to see you. I have to see you. I've got to have another lesson before I leave for LA, and George, that's her husband, wants to leave in a couple of hours. I absolutely have to see you. And I'm like, Barbie, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, But anyways, she was a friend. I said, yeah, okay, come on over. So 6 o'clock in the morning, Barbie Benton and her husband George arrive at my home. And Barbie comes in just ecstatic. I mean, she's just busting at the seams. You've got to hear what I did with the first lesson you gave me. As a teacher, I wasn't all that enthusiastic. This woman has had 20 minutes of information. So I went to the kitchen and started making some coffee. And Barbie went into the living room and she started to play the piano. When Barbie started to play the piano, I literally froze. I could not believe what I was hearing. Barbie had composed a piece of music that was so remarkable. Beautiful, magnificent, sophisticated, complex, a beautiful composition and a complete composition beyond anything really that I had ever heard. And I just couldn't, I mean, I couldn't at that time, I couldn't comprehend how that was possible. From a rational point of view, the transition of a student's composition and performance ability from a 20-minute piano lesson was not possible. There had to be a way to clarify how, and more importantly, why the information I gave Barbie produced that result. So I think that was the turning point where I had to know that information.
Interesting. It seems in 1999 you began the Numeric Language of Music Development Case Study Program. Over several years, you documented students of multiple ages rapidly accelerating in keyboard performance ability. During that time, you realized the program was affecting additional areas of your students' lives. Tell us about that.
The development case study program was originally designed to document how fast and how well a student could learn to play the piano with my program. One of the students enrolled was a 6-year-old boy named Adam. And Adam had started the program, I guess it was in January. He was in kindergarten. It was sometime in November that I interviewed Adam's mother, Tracy, about Adam's progress in the program. During the interview, Tracy asked me if she could talk about something that had happened at Adam's school. At the end of kindergarten, Adam's teacher became very irate, telling her that Adam's handwriting was absolutely the worst in his class. He ran all his lines together. It was so bad something had to be done about it. I mean, literally, he was yelling at her. The following school year, I guess it was around November, Adams' new teacher tells Tracy that Adams' handwriting was the best in his class, absolutely perfect, the prettiest she had ever seen, especially for a boy. Well, Tracy was so pleased with what this new teacher told her that she went to the first teacher, the kindergarten teacher, and told him what the new teacher said. Well, the kindergarten teacher, he didn't believe her. So they went to the office to compare Adam's work from last year to this year. The kindergarten teacher couldn't believe the change. And he started to look at more papers and he asked Tracy, did you see this? In addition to Adam's handwriting advancing from the worst in the class to the best in his class, Adam had advanced from a first grade reading level to a fifth grade, third month reading level. And the teacher asked Tracy, what in the world did you use or did you work with Adam over the summer? But Tracy, you know, she's a working mother. You know, she doesn't have a lot of time. Nobody worked with Adam on any area of his academics or his handwriting. The only difference in Adam's everyday routine was studying the numeric language of music with me. Once I realized studying the numeric language of music program had the potential to significantly increase students' mental abilities, I started including monitoring students' grades from the introduction of the information. And the results were amazing. Consistently, student math grades were advancing from D's and failing to a 98%. Their reading grades, science grades, chemistry grades were all accelerating as well. After I documented that information, I tested the program with two special needs children. The 12-year-old girl had been in speech and reading therapy since she was three. When she started the program, her grades in reading were D's and F's. During a three-month study of the Numeric Language of Music program, both of the special needs children's reading abilities advanced to A's and B's.
Amazing. And so amidst all of that, in 2002, you again changed your focus from the development case study program to analyzing the difference between conventional music education curriculum and the program you authored. Your effort was rewarded with a U.S. patent in 2008. How were you able to distinguish the difference between the two programs?
First, I started to decompose music, reducing massive amounts of information to identify the lowest common denominator of structural form. Once I was able to identify the core structural form from which the language of music was built, I defined that form by the distance between the musical tones. Next, I assigned the numbers 1 through 7 as single points of reference to the physical location or the root from which the structural form of music vocabulary is created. The distinction between the two programs became very obvious by how the numeric and alphabetic symbols functioned in the program. In conventional music programs, 7 different alphabetic symbols, plus an additional 10 alphabetic symbols, which have a sharper flat added to them, are used to represent the fixed identity of each individual musical tone. In the numeric language of music, the individual musical tones of the vocabulary are identified by the distance between the musical tones. And in this way, the structural form of music vocabulary is simplified to a single definition, regardless of which key the vocabulary is performed in. Once I was able to explain the basis upon which I had defined music as a mathematical language of structural form and motion, the distinction between the two programs was obvious. I was awarded with a U.S. patent for the numeric language of music, a unique program to teach musical information.
After you were granted the patent for the numeric language of music, you began studying publications written by renowned neuroscience, cognitive science, and brain research scientists. In 2010, you published your first thesis titled Music, the Remedial Language of the Brain. In your thesis, you suggest the numeric language of music is the innate, inherent language of the brain in the human species. Can you briefly describe how you came to that conclusion?
I first came across a lecture by Dr. Jeff Ellman, a professor of cognitive science at UC San Diego. Dr. Ellman concluded his lecture stating, if there is a language organ, it's probably the brain. Next, I started reading publications by Dr. Daniel Levitin. Dr. Levitin is a neuroscientist from McGill University in Montreal. Dr. Levitin said, the structures that respond to music in the brain evolved earlier than the structures that respond to language. There's been extensive research of the relationship between music and the brain. The research, however, is based on the results of the study of conventional music education curriculum. Conventional music education courses are very effective at teaching students to read music and to play a musical instrument. The program's capacity to modify the cognitive responses of the brain, thereby increasing student mental abilities, well, it's minimal at best. This is verified by the decades of students studying conventional music education curriculum in public schools and the declining state of students' math and reading and science grades in the U.S. In the Numeric Language of Music Development case study program, students dramatically accelerate in math and reading scores very rapidly. This rapid increase of cognitive responses of the brain directly correlating with the introduction of a defined mathematical language of music indicates the brain is responding to a language it understands. Combining Dr. Ehlman's hypothesis that the brain is the language organ of the human species with Dr. Levitin's knowledge that the structures that respond to music in the brain developed before the structures that respond to language, I realize that music was most likely the original language of the brain. By observing the rapid cognitive and remedial responses of the brain of students that were studying the numeric language of music, I realized the numeric language of music, which is a clearly defined mathematical language, is the innate, inherent, and original language of the brain and in the human species.
The Numeric Language of Music program has gone through a tremendous transformation over the last several decades. You have a lecture series titled Math, Music, and the Mind. You are actively advocating the Numeric Language of Music as the future of music therapy. In addition, you've suggested the Numeric Language of Music as a solution for America to increase the mental abilities of children, specifically to radically accelerate math and science scores. Tell me a little more about each of these three aspects of your current work.
Let's start first with music therapy, going back with when I talked about Adam earlier in the program. Adam's handwriting had accelerated from the worst in his class to the best in his class during the summer. So that was a real point that always interested me because I was playing piano for 20 plus years, and I assure you, my handwriting is barely legible. So why did the study of the numeric language of music, what caused Adam's handwriting to accelerate that dramatically? Considering that question, I went back and looked at how irate and mad and angry that teacher was about his handwriting at the end of kindergarten, and how a little boy, a six or seven-year-old little boy, could very well have been emotionally traumatized by that event. Adam, having no extra training in handwriting, demonstrated his brain had the capacity to accelerate his abilities to write. Using the numeric language of music increased not just the cognitive response of the brain, but it increased a remedial capacity that the brain has. That's when I realized the numeric language of music had tremendous potential for music therapy. Neuroscientists are now suggesting that the study of a musical instrument may thwart or prevent dementia. Just as studying a musical instrument using conventional music education courses produces a very minimal effect to increase the mental abilities of students, I believe the same results would be true in the attempt to use the information to help people with dementia. It's my professional opinion that if there is a way to thwart dementia, help Alzheimer's patients, help special needs children, and help any other possible applications for healing, the Numeric Language of Music program presents the greatest promise for success. As a solution for America, the Numeric Language of Music program has clearly demonstrated the ability to effectively increase students' mental abilities very quickly. especially in math and reading. The program is not being presented as a new music education curriculum. This program is specifically targeted as a means to increase students' math, reading, and science scores. I hope to see this program included in all academic programs from preschool through higher learning. If this program can rapidly increase student math and reading scores for students already in high school, what might our children be able to accomplish if they began the study of the program in preschool? So on the third point about my lectures, I've designed my lectures specifically for the audience. So if it's parents in general, or people who are working with special needs children, or people who are working with early dementia or Alzheimer's, any area of therapeutic application, I designed my lectures specifically for the application to those patients. My current lecture series, which is Math, Music, and the Mind, is focused on explaining how the mathematics of the language of music are applied to increase the cognitive and remedial responses of the brain. The point of this lecture is to have an opportunity to share knowledge about the relationship between the numeric language of music and the modifiability of the brain.
Well, Patricia, thank you for taking the time to explain this wonderful program, and it sounds like it has tremendous possibilities, and the results are already showing those possibilities. The more that people can get out there and start to use your program, the better the results will be. Working through Artist Head, I think it's going to be a great way to reach people who really have the need and are looking for something to increase not only possibly their children's grades, but also modify their own brain in the sense of increasing their own cognitive abilities. And also, as we said before, we were talking about Alzheimer's, this program could be of extreme benefit to sufferers of those kinds of degenerative brain diseases. So we look forward to promoting this wonderful program and seeing some fantastic results come about and helping the world at large become a better place by healing people and giving them another chance.
Well, thank you, Rob. I sincerely appreciate the opportunity to speak about my work and to share the knowledge and the discoveries that I've made with the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you.